Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
If I can find my seat here, thank you. Mr. Ringstad.
Here.
Ms. Tidwell.
Here.
Ms. Rogers.
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Here.
Mr. Marnie.
I'm here.
Mr. Cleworth.
Here.
Mayor Prus.
Here. Thank you, everyone. We have a work session with the director and the deputy director of the Fairbanks North Scarborough Planning Department, Mr. Killen and Ms. Melissa. How you two doing? Well, it's we're here. It's been a six-year process. This says on it final draft, right?
I hope so.
Yeah, I would say this often. You're killing me, Kelder. Okay. Melissa, I take it you're going to bring us through the presentation tonight?
Yeah, I just have 15 slides. I just wanted to highlight some of the changes that have occurred between our last work session with you all in September and then talk about the path forward. So thanks. Thank you. Thanks for having us again. The draft plan, the what's called the final draft with a March 20th, 2024 date on the cover, was distributed to all earlier this month. I hope you have your copies with you. I forgot to bring any additional copies, but if you want any more, I can bring them by tomorrow, or we can set up a time to meet up if you want additional ones. It's also available on the project website now, downtownfbx2040.com. It's the same version that was printed and distributed to you. Next slide, please. So as I mentioned today, I just want to talk about the city's involvement throughout this planning process and then spend some time talking about those changes that have happened since your last work session in September. We had the public review period during that time and incorporated some changes in response to those comments, and then talk about the timeline going forward. The ordinance to adopt has been referred by the Assembly, so that sort of starts the ball rolling with that official adoption process. Next slide. So this, the city, as a government entity, has really been involved every step of the way in the development of this plan since 2017, when we got the direction from the borough administration to start the planning process to draft a new downtown plan. The working group has had city representation with city council member as well as city residents, business owners. We really tried to get a very comprehensive representation on that working group. And that has been a very hard working group. I'm sure they didn't know what they signed up for 7 years ago when they agreed to serve. And I'm forever grateful to them for their participation. We've also held, including this one tonight, five city council work sessions in the past 2 years on the subject of the downtown plan. The Planning Commission has held several work sessions and will be holding their public hearing tomorrow. And, of course, there are four City of Fairbanks seats on the Planning Commission. And then the Chena Riverfront Commission will also, the Assembly also referred it to the Chena Riverfront Commission, so they'll be holding their meeting on it this Wednesday. So it's a big week for the downtown plan. They'll be reviewing and likely making their recommendation on the plan this Wednesday. There's City of Fairbanks representation on that commission as well. And then just throughout the process, again, I want to express my thanks to city staff and leadership for meeting with us, talking out key issues. You know, we have met throughout the process with department directors, mayor, chief of staff, and others on specific topics, on the plan as a whole, on implementation issues, on, you know, language within the plan, lots of details that we'll get into in the next few slides. And just thanks again for working with us throughout this process. So, I wanted to acknowledge that working group. You can see the members throughout time that have put in many hours, meeting many times to be representative and come up with a plan that represents the community's desires for the future of the downtown. So since we last met, again, that work session back on September 25th, we did have a public comment period. We received about 200 unique comments. Those are all documented and tracked on the project website, again, downtownfbx2040.com. There's a little snip of it in the corner of this slide. We documented the commenter, what their comment was, and then how it was addressed in the plan. Sometimes the comments were just general statements, maybe statements of support, just general desires for the downtown. We wanted to make sure that we acknowledge those comments. They're not necessarily a specific line item in the plan or specific action to be included. So sometimes there was just no action. Sometimes that comment was out of the scope of the plan, so we noted that. If it did lead to a specific change, we noted that. So every single one of those comments is in that tracker. Anyone can review it by visiting the project website. One of the themes that came out of those comments was surrounding implementation. There's a lot of, I think, positive energy wanting to sort of jump to implementation of the plan. We're trying to keep the focus right now on adoption of the plan. It's really important to have an adopted element of the comprehensive plan that we can point to in support of specific implementation projects. We've also gotten some commitment from city leadership as well as others in moving forward with implementation of this plan once it is adopted, so it doesn't just become a plan on the shelf, and we appreciate that. We did get statements of support from different community organizations, including the Chamber of Commerce, Downtown Association, and the City of Fairbanks. And there was a lot of focus in the comments on the land use map. We had, if you'll remember back to September, we did present two different options for one area of the land use map, and I'll speak more to that in another slide. So I want to jump right into specific changes that we've made in the plan, and I included page numbers. Those are the pages in the final draft document with that March 20th, 2024 date if you want to follow along. So I'm just going through in plan order. These are going to note whether it's in response to a public comment or a specific city comment. So I think as you all are aware, the department heads and staff compiled comments, and then the city administration compiled those into a written letter to us that was dated October 13th, I believe. With specific bullet points and changes requesting to be made to the plan. So these are what I'm referring to here and the changes that were subsequently made. So in the very beginning, it's sort of the introductory section. It's titled About the Plan. It's a five-page section. Then there is a diversity, equity, and inclusion statement. The general statement has been included in the plan for quite some time in many previous drafts, but the statement was revised this time around in response to some specific public comments. I know that this is a topic that's receiving a lot of attention recently, and we wanted to make sure that we got that language correct. There is a sentence in there that I think is maybe a misinterpretation of one of the public comments that was submitted. So we are now, it is in the draft right now, but community planning is proposing deleting one sentence out of that diversity, equity, and inclusion paragraph in the plan. And then also in that about the plan section, there's a subcategory called project area. It speaks sort of broadly about Fairbanks, our geographic location, some of our history. And we've heard that it could benefit from some additional local context, particularly about the history of Fairbanks. Now, you all may or may not be aware, there is a historic preservation plan that has been adopted as an element of the regional comprehensive plan. That whole plan is all about preserving and recognizing the history of our area, and then a plan that's an additional component of the historic preservation plan is a historic signage plan that's about 15 years old. It's been broadly implemented through different signage projects, acknowledging mostly historic structures, and a lot of them are in the downtown area. We have a walking tour and a brochure that's published in support of that. So a lot of that has been implemented. So we want to reference that, make people aware that, you know, there's a whole plan about historic preservation, but also add a little bit more local color to that project area context. And so that's not in the plan yet. We propose doing that. Oh, and that was general public comments. This is back to a city comment from that October letter, specifically adding that the borough and the city share economic development responsibilities. And that bottom line there goes into detail about the city's responsibilities for all things street-related, signage, lighting, et cetera. So there was that request to specifically include that language. So we went ahead and did that. That's on page 17, still sort of in the intro section of the plan. And there was one comment from the city regarding economic development, a request to add a specific action allowing for issuing citations for problem properties. I think this is also something that we saw in the comments from the public, not this specific language, but just recognizing that the city, it would be great if the city had the authority to do this and to do more in dealing with problem properties. So that was the specific language requested, and that's what's been added to this draft. Okay, this is the land use plan. So in the draft that went to the public, there were two different land use scenarios that were presented, and we asked the public to let us know what they thought about both of these options. Those options are in the lower left corner of this slide, and it focuses around the Noel Ween property. And you'll see that the corridor adjacent to Smythe was proposed as a possible area for multifamily mixed-use development. And in exchange, the green space designation would extend south all the way to Airport Way. We heard pretty loud and clear from the community that there was a desire to retain as much green space in that area as possible, that multifamily mixed-use development was not desired in that area that's currently green space adjacent to the library. And so you'll see the final land use map in the bigger map on the right-hand side encompasses all of the possible green space. So it combined all of the green space from alternative one with all of the green space from alternative two. It does not add any mixed-use preferred residential designation in that area. And I think that was nearly a universal response from the community that was the desire to go. So that is how it's reflected in the land use map. There are no other changes to that land use map compared to the previous public review draft. This was a language change. I kind of debated even including this because it's maybe just semantics, but two of our land use categories previously stated the intention to limit new industrial uses. One other category includes the language to discourage new industrial uses. We made that universal throughout the categories, sort of acknowledging that the downtown is maybe not a great place for new industrial uses. So we changed that word from limited industrial to discourage industrial. So it may be significant to some people. I included it because I just wanted to be upfront about it. And a lot of the city comments were surrounding bike resources and the bike network. So we had multiple meetings with city staff and city leadership about bike circulation and bike routes. And you'll see that there's a pretty marked change in this bike circulation map and some of the language surrounding bike routes. So this is one component of the transportation network. It's part of a series of maps starting on page 60. Previously, there was a bike circulation network that included city streets. We heard from city staff and leadership that the city does support bike transportation, but did not want to designate certain city streets as part of a bike network. So we took their direction. We removed any city streets to be marked as part of a bike network. You'll see, so what remains are borough and state-managed resources. And so I think you'll see in this draft that it still says bike network. We will be changing the title of that map to borough and state bike facilities. And there's two different figures because I think figure 28 is the complete transportation network and figure 36 is just specific to bikes. So that change is on both of those figures. And then in the language specific to bike resources, this is all on page 64. We changed the goal, transportation goal 2, which is the goal specific to bike facilities, essentially changing that from year-round to a seasonal bike network. And then that's the overarching goal, goal 2. And then a strategy underneath that goal, it's still all under strategy A, but it's deleting the previous strategy, which was implementing that proposed bike circulation network, which no longer exists because we've changed that figure. And instead, providing parking and storage in appropriate and safe locations, using signage and other markings, and doing that by and with the maintenance authority of the roadway. And I think deleting strategy C is sort of because it's incorporated into strategy A, so that's a little bit of a clerical change referencing signage. I can go back for 1 second. Removing that language about enforcing cycling prohibition on sidewalks in the urban core. Go ahead, Danny. Thanks. And I just wanted to talk about the Polaris. There aren't any changes related to the language, the Polaris language in the plan. I just thought I would remind everyone, since it is in the spotlight right now, that the Polaris was a big part of why this planning process was instigated. It's still a very big, important issue in the downtown, and this plan specifically recognizes that. So under an economic development strategy, it's to reimagine the Polaris building site as an economic anchor, develop a realistic community-driven plan for its reuse, and then it's a tremendous opportunity for the downtown as an infill project. And then the land use chapter focuses generally on developing vacant and underutilized parcels, and the Polaris is certainly included in that category. And project schedule. So today we are having our work session with you all. We will be requesting support, and I think you have the draft resolution in front of you. Thank you for drafting that and bringing it forward. I think we'll be back to you in May for public hearing on that. Anyone here probably knows more than I do about your schedule. You can correct me if I'm wrong. We will, as I mentioned at the beginning, we'll be having our Planning Commission public hearing tomorrow. The Planning Commission will debate and potentially vote on a recommendation of adoption. That's what's scheduled for tomorrow. Chena Riverfront Commission will hold their meeting on Wednesday at noon, and then those recommendations will be forwarded to the Assembly. The Assembly is the decision-making body for adopting this plan as an element of the comprehensive plan. They will likely be holding their work session and public hearing later this summer, potentially in June. And again, I always want to remind people of the website, downtownfbx2040.com. It has this draft of the plan. It has the comment tracker. It has the schedule and some other information about the history of the project. And with that, thank you so much for your time.
Are there any questions for Ms. Kilner or Mr. Stolen? Ms. Risa.
Thank you. I've kind of come into this here, I think, on the later end of this, so forgive me for that. But I sat down reading through this. I've got several comments and thoughts. generally take them more in the general context. You know, looking at this, the downtown area, just as a map, we have several major neighborhoods around that are part of Old Fairbanks that are on the outskirts of this that I think have a very direct impact on the core area. And the way this, as I read through it, it's like we're ignoring all those neighborhoods. So I'm not sure that, I don't know how you reference that, but if you take, whether you're going east or west or even a little bit north, over the years, those neighborhoods have been a big support for the downtown area, right? And just because we draw it on the map doesn't mean that's where the activity comes from. I did like all the data as to who's in this area. And one of the things that concerns me is our number of buildings is going down. We've got mostly low-income and elderly people. That's not typically the dynamic that's going to support and revive a downtown area. We need the support of the surrounding areas. On a technical kind of, and this might be just a, the way it's worded, somewhere it says the northern boundary comes up the Steese over here and follows Mini Street and Noyes Slough. As someone that lives on Noyes Slough and is not in this, I think the Noyes Slough is a misnomer. I mean, the line is perpendicular to the slough. It crosses the slough, but the slough is not the northern boundary. Mini Street is, correct? Let's take a look to make sure you're technically right on that one. There was on your list of these, there's several of these. I appreciate you updating because I did think, well, with a little luck and our mayor's hard work, by the time we get this thing finalized and on the street, the Polaris building is going to be well on its way down. So, you know, I think that that's updating that was the right answer. However, in the one you were talking about right at the end there, and I saw it kind of in two places, where it's now said that we do this as a community facility or a public-private partnership. The city and the downtown area has a reputation of being almost anti-anything, being negative, and I would hate... I mean, I could read this as an outside investor that isn't real active in Fairbanks and say, oh, you don't want private development. You want a government deal. I got to partner with the government. I mean, I'm not sure we want to eliminate an option or give a negative connotation to that because that's the way it struck me is, are we eliminating certain potential developments? So I don't know if you just say a community facility or a private facility, private
development. What are you looking at? What is it?
On her sheet here on page 13.
34, I think. Page 34.
It's just a wording. And the other place I saw something that kind of had the similar deal where you were talking about discouraging and limited. Discourage, to me, sounded like a negative connotation. I mean, at this point, I'm not really excited about eliminating any options. Limited is probably a good idea. I kind of prefer the limited word so we just don't get people look at it and say it's negative. I mean, I want people to take as much creative thinking as they can get to help us along with this. Something else that struck me, kind of a, maybe it's a personal thought of mine, but there, in a lot of places in the plan, you talk about expressing the culture of our community and what have you. Nowhere in the plan did I hear anything. I mean, Fairbanks was founded as a mining town. That was the domination of this town for the first 30 or 40 years. I don't see any recollection of that or reflection of that in here. The, you know, the military came in the 40s, World War II. That dominated the next 25 years. then you get into the North Slope development, and that dominated the next 30 or 40 years. And to me, they're all major parts of what made Fairbanks what it is today. Right? So I think we need to, I don't know how you broaden that to include everything, but if you could think about that a little bit and say, you know, this is the history of our community. You know, we're 120 years old. What made us what we are? And then you take that and go forward. You know, I'm a fan. You mentioned something up in here about historic properties. One of those is mine. We got on the historic register. I think it's important that people understand our history, particularly if we're going to invite new people to come in and invest and be part of our community. I'd like them to know that. So clearly you guys have done a ton of work, and I think that's good. I am concerned that we create false expectation of funding. I'm sure the mayor has all these things in his budget, but I'm not sure we're going to give him all that much money. But for someone that isn't involved in a process and sits down and reads this, I'd hate to have them think, oh, all this is going to happen in the next few years. You know, this is going to come piece by piece over time, just like some of our other urban renewal projects have done over the years. So I don't know how you say that, but it is, like you say, it's a 2040 plan. It's not a next year plan, mm-hmm. but once you get off the front cover, you kind of forget about that. And my guess is a lot of these plans will continue to change over the next 20 years. Right? That's what plans do. So, is there something else? I thought I had something else in here somewhere. You talk some about not just the Polaris, but one of the pieces about changing our codes, doing things, trying to clean up properties. We are kind of hoping that we're going to have our changes, codes maybe changed before you get this published. We're already in the works of doing that. And we're putting together a plan to work on those properties. So I don't know how you do this in a long-term plan, but those first steps either could be already done and implemented 3 years from now or being implemented, as the case might be. And there as you go forward with a plan, it would be wise to say, these are the actions that are already being taken and need to be continued, as opposed to say you need to go change your code, which will look kind of silly if we just changed it.
Kellen and Melissa, we are having abatement and problem properties meetings now. And at our last meeting, we thought, you're not here. You should be here with us. So our next meeting is on May 3rd at 3 o'clock, and we were going to invite you to that, see if you can make it.
1 o'clock.
What's that?
You said 1 o'clock.
Oh, 1 o'clock.
Ask somebody that knows.
That's why he's my boss.
But that's, just so you know, those are already in the works and going, and I'd rather throw it on the table now rather than you guys find out about it 6 months from now. So I think some of your data in here, talking about statistically what is the core area, was really good information should make us all think, because I think that is not a survivable pattern. You look at the declines in there and what's happening. So I think it's good to make ourselves aware of that, and that your data does that. I appreciate that.
Any other comments or questions?
Mine.
Oh, Mr. Marnie.
Well, thank you again. I think I've sat through 4 or 5 of these meetings. I see nothing but money here. And did the assembly give you guys a fairly good check-size checkbook that could help the city implement these projects? You have a checkbook?
There's really nothing in this document that we're essentially trying to mandate to put on the city, if that makes sense. So a lot of this plan's really based on partnerships and partnerships all across the board. We just got out of a two-hour meeting with Fairbanks Neighborhood Housing today, and the huge grants and opportunities that that organization has and can start putting some of that into the downtown. So there's absolutely changes we can make at a zoning level, at a planning level, to try to encourage some development downtown. But nothing in this plan is really meant to try to force costs on anyone, if that makes sense. So the Assembly didn't give us any money to, you know, go out and implement the plan, if you will. But it's really kind of this framework of decisions that we can start working to try to get a more successful downtown. There's really nothing that is meant, and I can say this, you know, honestly with as much sincerity as I can, because it's been a theme of this. There's nothing in this plan that is trying to mandate the city to spend more money or make any decisions. But it's really what we're looking at is a partnership. We've been before this body, I think, five or six different times, and we haven't even been to our own assembly yet for a work session. So we've been to the Planning Commission quite a few times, but again, we take our partnership with the city very seriously, and it's really, I'd say, one of the number one priorities of this planning effort. So sorry for the long-winded answer there.
Well, I know, you know, there's added work for our Public Works Department. I'm sure there's going to be added work for our police department. And we all know abatements are not cheap. Those are three things that I think are going to make the city a better place to live. Thank you.
Ms. Sprinkle.
I have just one question about a map I don't see in here that we had done in the November 16th version, which was the housing units in downtown Fairbanks by type. I don't see it in here now, and I wondered why it was taken out. It's this one. It's on page, well, it was on page.
So I guess I can speak in generalities about that. I'm working off memory here. I believe we decided to remove that from the final draft. It was good background information. We have thousands of pages of background information that went into this plan, but we found that particular map a little confusing and a little hard for the final scale. So I believe we made the decision to remove that. It was really just a snapshot. But again, we have a couple thousand pages of kind of background material that fed into this planning effort as well.
Well, it's just a shame. I think it does show open space, vacant land, multifamily. But I just wanted to know why. I'm not going to burn this thing down.
Any other questions? Ms. Tidwell.
I don't so much have a question as a comment. First of all, thank you guys for coming again. I think it is so important to have a plan. You know, like Lonnie was saying, you know, everything in here comes with a price tag, but a lot of times projects and stuff, you know, to have the vision of the type of community that we want is so important. And in building projects, a lot of time to seek that funding to make it happen. The one thing that I don't love is the bicycle map, because when I look at all these other maps, you know, I think I see them as visionary and proposed this and proposed that, and then we have, you know, our existing bicycle circulation network, which is, you know, hopefully our vision for the future is something much more elaborate than this. But that would be my only complaint. I'm I'm pretty excited about this plan.
Ms. Rogers, do you have any questions or thoughts?
I don't have any questions to add. I'd like to probably call specific attention to the comments made by Mr. Ringstad and his years of roots in our community, many generations of his family, and the idea of history being a really important part of the development of Fairbanks. Both those things discussed here in the past, and then going forward, history is, I think perhaps we make it's kind of like having a home with a dining room that's all available to be able to have a large table of bringing people together and so on and so forth, and then there's bookshelves there, but it's been my experience that many times those bookshelves are so dusty they never get utilized, and we forget to pay attention to what we already know about our history. Our history is very definite here, but many times it doesn't get a real good remembering when we're working on things. And so I think it was really important that he brought up the idea of history and those neighborhoods that surround the downtown core. And those of us who have had four or five generations of family here, I can't hardly drive through this community without seeing a home or whatnot, knowing, oh, that's where my grandmother's friend used to live, or this or that and everything. One of the things that I bring up in history is I talk about my uncle having worked down at the NC powerhouse where they stoked the fire by hand with shovels. And I find over and over that people go, really? Really? How did that work? Well, you know, when it was cold outside and whatnot, we in our community, we cut enough wood and hauled in enough coal and whatnot where, yes, by hand, those things happen. We don't really think that way about our community anymore, about the resilience and the efforts that went to create this space for us here. Ron Inouye with the Historical Foundation does a wonderful job of trying to remind people of it, but I think we need to remember those things on a more regular basis rather than just occasionally dust the books off and make use of them. So thank you, John, for your remarks.
Thank you very much. Mr. Clayworth, do you have any comments?
Yeah, thank you. Actually, a couple of questions for you folks. On page 19, it talks about, on that first paragraph at the top, you use the term safe spaces. I know what that means on college campuses. What are you using it for? What does that mean? This one we have here. This last sentence in that top paragraph there.
What page?
19.
Okay. The bottom of the first paragraph, okay.
I could talk a little bit about that. One of the theories that came out of this plan is, I may be getting a little into the weeds here, into technical safe spaces. And there's a theory that really came out through this plan, and we call it out in a couple of the goals and strategies. The acronym is CEPTED. It stands for Crime Prevention Through Environmental Design. Really, I guess, putting forward the theory that the design of our environment can dictate crime rates. And a kind of a standard nationwide example they use is if you create, I guess, dark spaces under bridges that people can hide, that the crime rate in that area is typically going to be a little bit higher than elsewhere. It's been proven in a lot of cities. Anchorage did a big study based on this too. So as far as I know, this is the first time we've brought this theme of crime prevention through environmental design into one of our planning documents, and just really calling that out and really having, I guess, this little bit of a deeper look at the design of some of our public spaces. So in generality, that's what was, I guess, maybe being talked about when you actually look more specifically into the goals and strategies of the plan that call out the, I guess, that SEPTED philosophy.
Yeah, we talked about that a lot, lighting and things like that to make it safer. I did not make that jump from this statement to that, though. I think for most of us, well, maybe just me, safe spaces, I've only heard the term used on college campuses, which became pretty controversial. So I don't, maybe a little better description there of exactly what you said here. So that would clarify exactly what you mean by that. That might be good. On page 31, you have an environmental health statement. It says air quality continues to be a challenge downtown year-round. I guess I didn't realize that. We have a monitor on the old federal building, and I know some years it was never triggered 365 days a year. It might have been lately. I don't know. We'd have to check with DEC and find out if that's been triggered. But it was only triggered on a few days with temperature inversions. But it kind of gives you the, if I were reading this and I knew nothing about Fairbanks, Alaska, I would go, oh, they have air quality problems year-round downtown. And I don't think that's factual. That's all I'm saying on that. Then I'm just going to go to one more, 48, page 48. One of our land use, intended land uses there, kind of in the middle of the page, the bullet that says discourage new industrial uses and surface parking. If I were to come to the borough and I had a business to make, we had 25 sewing machines and we're making parkas and mukluks and all that, and we're going to wholesale them around Alaska, and it happened to be in the core, would that be discouraged?
It really comes to the zoning on the property at the time. So I think what you just described, like something like a business we have in town, Apocalypse, that would be something that would be allowed in general commercial, would be allowed in central business district. So that's not something that would be, I guess, discouraged because it's allowed outright by the zoning.
You wouldn't call that an industrial use?
No, and then the zoning is the technical zoning is the regulations that govern the use that comes in. So this is pretty broad language. The zoning code is very, very in-depth when it comes to uses just like what you're describing. So I could, you know, pull out the zoning permit we issued for Apocalypse and exactly what the listed use was and that type of thing. But no, it's the zoning code that really governs that.
So another thing, I know in the document here it says we would like ground floor spaces to be retail. So let's say the Polaris is gone and we have a company that walks into town and says we've got rights to buy out the whole block. We're going to put up residential housing, and it's going to be that from top to bottom, and we're going to add parking on that lot or some under the building or beside it or something and do that as well. Would that be in violation of this plan?
So let me take a stab at this. It's so hard to answer these questions based on theoretics, especially when we have a really specific zoning code that addresses these. So it depends on what the property is zoned. But actually, one of the themes that came out of this, and it is a specific strategy in the plan, is looking at broadening the restrictions. We have a zoning called Central Business District, broadening the restrictions right now that don't allow residential on that ground floor. Right now, we don't have any restrictions when it comes to parking. You can have basically unlimited parking, surface level or otherwise downtown. So that's not governed by zoning. And in fact, the opposite, the theme coming out of the parking chapter of this is looking at cutting our parking regulations, looking at eliminating some of the parking minimums. You've heard me talk, you know, ad nauseum about that. And that's something we're looking at. But I guess to answer your question specifically, I think the development you just described to me would be allowed and under the zoning right now.
Do you personally see zoning, other than the parking that we're all kind of in agreement on, and with the zoning and the core changing?
I think not necessarily, you know, large-scale rezones, but I think there could be some tweaks to something like Central Business District to allow what I just described as residential on the ground floor. So I think there could be some small changes to the existing zoning framework, but in the next year, a large-scale rezone of the downtown area, I don't see that as one of the big priorities.
Years ago, the borough looked at retail hotspot zoning. Would that be considered again or not?
It's not my intention to bring that forward. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Kellen and Melissa, thank you very much. First of all, 6-7 years in the making, I think you both have a wonderful temperament for bringing this through and hopefully successful and to fruition. But also, I'd like to take a moment to say that this replaces Vision Fairbanks. Vision Fairbanks was crafted by a regional West Coast firm that came up and then came and said, do this, do this, do this. And as soon as they were done, we just put it on the shelf. It was just put on the shelf. What this did was this had Fairbanksons take a look at it over and through and get stakeholders and buy-in and reflection. And this was done by Fairbanksons in the downtown corridor, which the previous one was not. So I appreciate your time, your effort. Ms. Sprinkle, Mr. Clayworth, 6 years out of your life?
Seven.
Over 2 terms for Mr. Clayworth on city council, but he's only done 10, so it's a smidgen of time. What the heck? So with that, we're going to conclude, and we will start our city council meeting at 6:30. Thank you.
Thank you.